Soul Tape. The champ is Champions here. Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
Welcome to Urban Media Today Radio. I'm your co-host Bill Neal, along with Kevin Cameron. It is Soul Take, Champions Live Sports Talk Show.
I'm back. I'm back.
After 1 week, you're back.
That don't take me long. I'm back. And look, that's all Michael had to say when Michael left. He said, I'm back. And the world stopped spinning. What's up, y'all? Soul Take Champions Live. Bill Neal coming to you live with Kevin Cameron out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the greatest sports town in all of America, and Kiki at the wheels, spinning the wheels. That's what you used to say in your old DJ days, spinning the wheels of steel, or what? No,
you guys say the right lingo, man.
No, I used to say spinning the steel of wheels of steel. Yes, they did.
Just save it, Bill.
That was down in heaven. You know. At heaven, and the pyramid.
Out 1 week.
Judy's Banquet Hall and the original Savoy of East Hills, man, back in the day. Kev don't know.
Out 1 week, Bill, Kev, and you come back just,
what?
You know.
Look, the good thing
is talking all kind of mess.
Look, I'm just trying to get you back where you need to be. But it is Soul Take Champions Live, coming to you from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and we talk all kinds of sports. Comes to you every Wednesday, and my good friend Kevin Cameron very shortly will tell you how to find us. But right now, we want to welcome you to the show and remind you that you are listening to Soul Take Champions Live. We broadcast out of Western Pennsylvania, out of Pittsburgh, PA to be specific, but we hit all parts of the world. So our sports, well, you know, we got an old saying, what we don't know, we make up as we go along. So let's get into it with some NFL talk, I presume, Kev. You wanted to start there?
Man, we're going to talk about everything, so I just want to give our listeners a recap of our show today. We're going to talk some NFL, like you just indicated. We're going to talk Pittsburgh Pirates, Major League Baseball.
While
you were out, we'll talk about that. Pittsburgh Pirates made some big moves before the trade deadline at the end of July. You were out for it.
I wasn't in.
So do you know what's going on?
I wasn't in Timbuktu, but where are you now? You know you know what flip-flops are, right?
Yeah.
What are flip-flops?
Flip-flops. You wear them.
Okay. So
they flip-flop.
They're shoes that you – they're like rubber shoes.
And there's political flip-flop, too.
You stick your toe in the middle of them, and when you walk, they flip, they flop.
Exactly.
Well, that's your new name.
Well, it's not my new name.
Because you flip and flop back and forth.
You'll be surprised.
So where are you now with the Pirates?
Well, we're going to save that once we start talking about Major League Baseball. And we're also going to talk about –
Well, that must mean you flipped again.
No, not at all. And Bill, you know, a few people went into the Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, this past weekend. So
Terrell Owens didn't give a damn.
Well, you know what? I kind of changed my view on Terrell Owens as far as him not showing up, you know, for the induction.
What was your original view?
Well, my original view was
flip-flop, but go ahead.
No, when you have more information, okay, it makes sense to be open to change your mind. See, this is what's wrong with a lot of people. A lot of people, they're just stuck in their own belief, or beliefs, I should say. And no matter what someone tells them, they're still holding on to those beliefs. See, when you have discussions and when you get new information or someone says something that makes sense, you should be open to change. And let me give you a perfect example, Mr. Neal. I used to believe that college football players should not get paid. I used to sit back and say, there's no way these guys should get paid.
We've had this discussion.
Okay, they get scholarships. They should be happy to get a quality education. They go to the University of Pittsburgh. They go to Carnegie Mellon. They go to Duke. They shouldn't get paid. And as I got older, as I got more information.
From me.
No, not from you. This was way before I knew Bill Neal.
It was only 2 weeks ago.
It was only two weeks ago that
I said on this show, if college football players wanted to get paid, all they have to do is on a collective Saturday, don't show up and send a rippling effect into NCAA football.
This was 20
football.
Years ago. This was I even knew you,
all
man.
Right, all right, go ahead. But anyway,
it's
taking you 20 years to get to the point.
Let me make my analogy.
All right, go ahead.
All right? So once I got more information, you know, one of the biggest rip-offs ever in business is college athletics. Okay? So, again, once I had a chance to really look at all of the information and see how much money that the NCAA is making through athletics and the little payout that they have as far as scholarships.
And in all seriousness,
it's unbelievable. And I said, this is crazy. They need to get paid.
In all seriousness, it took you 20 years to come
to
that?
No, I said it was 20 years ago, 20, 30 years ago when I changed my mind. All right?
You changed your mind last year. The last time we talked about it, you insisted that college players don't get
paid. No, I've never said that. Well, you have the wrong guy. But let me move on.
Well, can I offer something?
Sure.
Now look,
because you're not offering very much
Let me offer something because I've always
something.
I've always said that college athletes should be paid. And you know, here's a small something that people, our listeners out there, can do. Just however many, let's go Division One. However many Division One colleges there are. Do you know how many Division One colleges there are in this country?
I don't.
All right, let's say 1,000.
Okay.
Do the math. 1,000 colleges, and let's go to three primary major sports at each college. Football, basketball. Now it's probably volleyball. It's probably
no. What's your definition of major?
Well, your major varsity sports, your money makers.
Well, I don't think volleyball is making that much money.
Listen, my point is, if you're looking at the three money makers at a college,
I don't consider that a money maker.
If you'll listen, it may not be as much money as football and basketball are making, but they're probably making more money than track and soccer. So if you're looking at the three top ones, volleyball would probably come in third. Track doesn't make any money. Soccer doesn't make any money in this country. So that's not even the point. Just take your three major college sports and add up all the money that they bring in to the NCAA and ask yourself, where does all that money go? Where is all the NCAA money going? Certainly some of it goes to the university for the maintenance of it. But athletes, for all the money that's being generated at any institution, athletes should be getting paid.
It has to be relative to your educational institution. You know, I went to two.
Are you against your own argument? No. Now, we're on the same side here. Now, what are you arguing against?
I'm arguing against what you're saying.
Well, I'm saying what you're saying, they should be paid.
Exactly, but I'm saying it has to be relative.
Well, we're not arguing about relativity. I'm simply saying they should be paid. There's a lot of money that is made that you got.
I'm talking about big-time college sports. I'm not just talking about sports across the board.
I just gave an example.
You went to where? Slippery Rock?
Yes, I just gave an example. If you just take all the money that colleges make, look at what these coaches get paid. $4 million, $5 million a year for coaches. It's unfair. It's unbalanced, and college athletes
now,
should be getting paid.
And what's going on now? So we won't argue that point, Mr. Bill Neal. We won't argue that point. But look at what's going on now. We're talking about sneakers, right?
That's always been part of the
equation. We're talking about, I think, was it North Carolina State? Or do I have the wrong educational institution?
Well, because some young men wanted to develop some entrepreneurial skills. Are they to be caught on the carpet?
Right.
Because they want to develop some entrepreneurial skills.
So they're making money off of their backs, right?
Right.
And they have a pair of tennis shoes where they have an opportunity to make some money. And they want to sell the tennis shoes. My question would be, okay, you sold your tennis shoes. What are you playing in?
Well, you...
You
may have missed this part because you were serving our country in the military. But virtually every athlete of any... On any campus, Division I, II, or III, gets five or six pairs of shoes. And your top athletes may be up into the 10 or a dozen pair. So they get extra shoes. You know, there are some – now, this is talking elite people. But people like Magic and some of those people back in the day, some guys wore one pair of shoes a game.
Yeah, good point.
So they can sell them. But doesn't that remind you of the Terrell Pryor thing?
So they can sell two of five, right? Yeah. So that makes sense. Yeah. So I guess if I did have five pair of good tennis shoes, I could get away with selling two.
And you got to figure this. Now, you talk about, you know, you got a situation going on at Ohio State where the coach says.
And we're
going
to talk about that. That's on the agenda.
I just want to point to that now. The coach says how much he didn't know. Well, now ask yourself this question. If you're getting five or six pairs of shoes and you're asking for more shoes, should a red flag go up?
Mm-hmm.
Should the trainer want to know, well, where are all the shoes going?
Right.
So who knows how much.
So what are you trying to say? Somebody's just getting a cut?
Well, I'm just saying, apparently somebody, who knows what somebody don't know? Because somebody knew they was giving out shoes. They wasn't walking in the, and if they wasn't walking in the locker room and getting them.
So. And what is the university? Is it North Carolina State or is it another university? Because I don't want to put the wrong university out on blast like that. So
I can't call it.
I'm going to have to Google this thing in a minute and make sure we get the right university. I know it wasn't any of my universities. That's all I have to say. Okay, so we're going to talk about Urban Meyer's, his mess down at Ohio State as well, the Buckeyes. Okay, there's always seems like something is going on down there, but we'll see
You talk about selling stuff. Remember Terrell Pryor?
Right.
At Ohio State.
Messed up his whole NFL career for and everything.
Selling a couple game shirts. So mm-hmm. similar to that, flashing back, what, 8 years? Maybe 8 years? But it all points to the fact, Kevin, that as you alluded to, that college athlete, you know, and here's a smokescreen that NCAA and other officials throw up. How do we decide who gets what? What sport should get it? What sport shouldn't get it? Should the guys get paid and the girls? They offer all those smokescreens. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, some of the greatest minds in the world are on college campuses. Figure it out. Figure it out. Do the numbers and determine the value of each sport, what sport brings in the most money, what people on those teams that bring in the most money contribute the most, and determine a payment scale.
Right, right.
And quit throwing up the smoke screen that we're not going to pay them because we can't figure out how.
Yeah, so that.
Meanwhile, the heads of campus are making six figures, and all the coaches are making millions, and all that's a double cross.
And you know, we always talk about what's going on in the NFL and how people think that situation is wrong. But if you compare the two, this is really, you know, the sport or the organization that should get a lot of heat because, like I said, it's just a total ripoff that they're not compensating those athletes the way they should be compensated. And let me say this too, because I looked it up and I was in the right state, but I just had the wrong university, and I should have known this because it's Michael Jordan's university, the University of North Carolina.
No, say it's not so.
I mean, we're talking a little bit. You could probably get a little bit more money for those shoes, I would think.
Maybe Michael's funneling it. Funneling the shoes in there because he got that big alimony thing going on now.
Well, I don't know about that. Maybe. I mean, we don't see Michael Jordan too much.
Yeah,
we talked about that last week too with what the King did.
But what's
LeBron James?
But give me your final point now. So what you're saying is that you concur that these athletes should be getting paid, but what's your plan? Do you have a plan? Do you have an action? Do you have a thought about how it could be done?
Well, my whole point was when you have discussions and you hear the other side's points and you get the information, be open to change your mind. And just too many times, people aren't open to changing their minds.
But you're an entrepreneur. You're a businessman. Give me a quick off the cuff. How would you pay college athletes? Like, surely you've had a thought about it. How would you do it?
I would think I would pay the athletes on a scale, just like you pay professionals in business. Depending on your position and your performance, you get paid according to the profits that are made in your sport. And in college is different, too, because, you know, a football program – doesn't have the opportunity to keep all the money, okay, because they have to spread that money across the university. But for, you know, that could be changed as well. you want to take care of the athletes that are driving that revenue and driving the profit. So, you know, raises another question regarding, are the players able to collectively organize? Okay, can they have a union? I'm not sure if that has been challenged before. We got to keep in mind a lot of the things that are in place today were not in place 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. When you take a look at free agency and a lot of other, you know, different aspects of sports were not there. Someone had to challenge the system in order to change the system. And that's why I indicated previously, I'm kind of on T.O.'s side now, Terrell Owens. You know, when you, and you brought this up many times before too, Bill, when you protest something, someone has to feel it. There has to be a sacrifice. And Terrell Owens was in a position where he said, I'm going to make a sacrifice. I could benefit a whole lot by going to Canton, Ohio to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But if I don't take a stand, the people after me will not, you know, the people after me will have to deal with the same situation that I'm dealing with.
Well, the general public knows that Terrell Owens has taken offense to how long it's taken him to be inducted. And thus, he offered that he's not going to attend the ceremony. And the Hall of Fame committee said, well, if you attend, fine. If you don't, we'll still pay, give you your honor and recognition. But what, let me ask this question. What exactly did T.O. say? Because I didn't hear the final words. What were his final words as to why he wasn't going there?
Well, that was it.
Was that it?
That
was
the media,
nothing else other than that?
Yeah, that the media needed to be checked. That the media did not follow the guidelines of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So they took it upon themselves to take a stand to say, we don't like, or we didn't like the way we were treated by Terrell Owens during his playing days. Therefore, we're going to punish him by not putting him in when he deserved to be in.
Because the numbers speak for themselves.
Right. I mean, any football fan should know he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. So he's saying it's not fair. And since it's not fair, I'm going to take a stand to say I'm not going to attend, so the next person behind me might have an opportunity to be a first ballot Hall of Famer when it's earned. And maybe the media, the selection committee, will finally get it. And it does take people, or it do take people like T.O. to take a stand, to make the change that is needed.
Okay, so you agree with T.O.?
I agree with T.O.
Okay. Now, is that, did you agree with him initially?
I did not agree with him initially.
Because you and I and many people thought he was being typical T.O.
Right.
In a self-serving manner.
Right.
But once he became a little more honest about his position, and once it became a matter of, it's not about me, T.O., it's about the circumstance I've been put under, people are now beginning to change their mind. But let me play a little bit of devil's advocate here, because I am on T.O.'s side in this regard. Although, however, I think if I were in the same position, I think I would have attended,
mm-hmm.
knowing me as I know me. But again, as I said before, revolutionaries are special. Revolutionaries are people that make great sacrifices for the benefit of others. So Terrell's position, as you make reference to, should, might, may not make a difference. But clearly, there had to have been other examples of people that should have been first rounders that weren't. Any come to mind?
I can't think of any right now. But what I really liked about T.O.'s stand, he took his stand against the people and the organization that caused the wrongful action. And that's what I've been saying forever as well with the NFL anthem protests. I just think you need to take, you know, the issues and the protests to the organizations and to the people that are causing the injustices. So that's really what I like about T.O.'s stand. It went directly to them. And the last thing we're going to talk about today too, Bill, it was a disappointing 4 days for Tiger Woods. So we need to talk about that as part of our segment as well. I'm not sure how much you were able to follow Tiger, but
we'll
talk about that as well.
There's two things of importance you need to know here. I wish Rock were here to hear this, but you know, you fancy yourself as of late a golfer. Like, you've elevated yourself into a competitive level heretofore had not been positioned by yourself. So I have yet to see you play, so I'm only going by what you say and what I hear. But going on your word, and of course, Rob, but because you put this in my head, every time Tiger plays, I expect him to win. And you've caused me to function on this level of frustration, because now I'm really beginning to wonder what Kevin said. Because Kevin said Tiger's going to win 4 more majors.
5.
And I'm having a hard time. And I'm a Tiger man. I want him to tear it up. But I'm having a hard time seeing if he can do it. It's not looking like Tiger can do it.
Well, it's funny. And like I said, we'll talk about it more later on in the show. But the thing you have to remember about golf, you can go a long time without winning. Phil Mickelson, who never took time off, it took him 4 years before he won this past year. You have Dustin Johnson, who's the number one player in golf, didn't even make the cut during the Open Championship that happened about a month ago. You had this past weekend, I said Tiger did bad. One of the best golfers, I would think he's in the top 5 or top 10, Jordan Spieth, who Tiger placed better than Jordan Spieth. But Tiger still had a bad tournament. So golf is just that tough. So you could actually play bad 1 week and come back great the next week. And actually Tiger did it in reverse, because during the Open, which was about a month ago or 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, he played good, very good. And then this past tournament, he played sorry.
Well, I'm going to tell you, and you've heard me say this before, but it bears repeating. If Tiger wants to win another major, if Tiger wants to get back to that level of greatness that made him the greatest player on the planet, he got to get them 14 hoochies back.
I knew it was coming.
Well, I'm just saying.
I knew it was coming.
There's a common denominator here. Tiger, greatest player on the planet, winning nonstop, 14 hoochies. Those two things were.
I actually think it was more than 14.
Well, it was 14
just for the record,
in the immediate count. Those two things went on simultaneously. Now, I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to figure out what those two things have in common. Tiger, go get you some hoochies, line them up in a hotel in every city that you roll in, and get your game back. That's the problem.
And let me do this. I know we have a lot to talk about.
You don't agree with that?
I don't agree with that, Bill. I mean, I'm not sure. You're out there, man. I'm not going to join you out there.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Let me ask you two questions. When Tiger Woods was winning, before his wife took a club to him, before it became public knowledge that he had affairs with 14 or more other women, during that time, wasn't he the greatest golfer on the planet, number one golfer, untouchable?
He yes was. Or no? Okay, but there's a lot of variables there.
Well, but that
and you can start with not being injured and being a lot younger than what he is, and
when you got
less
them,
competition when you got and
them,
everything else.
When you got them hoochies, you can be injured. They heal you up, man. Okay. You're not seeing where all this ties together.
It sounds like you're talking from experience.
You're
man.
Not seeing where all this ties together. Them hoochies heal you up, man. They bring you back.
Well, maybe you need to make a call. I'm not sure if Tiger would consider that.
Just offer my opinion.
Or not. But what I do want to do, Bill, I would like to take a moment away from sports and just share some sad news in my family. Last week, my family actually received some sad news. My uncle Amos Cameron, actually passed away. He was 81 years old, and lived in Leesdale, Pennsylvania. And he was such a kind person and a great uncle that will definitely be missed. So, I'm not sure how many family members are actually listening tonight, but I wanted to actually mention that and also continue to, you know, pray for the family. And like I said, he was just a great person, and he'll definitely be missed.
Well, that's something that we echo, and as we all know, on to a better place, to which we want to offer our condolences to our part-time visitor, Mark Whitett, the author of Pittsburgh's Forgotten Champions, the Pittsburgh Pipers. His mother passed away today,
right,
this morning. So blessings to Mark Whitett and his family all up in Butler and all up in that area. And last week, my absence due to my mother's sister passing. So, you know, it's
definitely
that,
condolences.
It's that season.
Yeah.
So, but I tell you this, I've always said to people, and I've been blessed to be called upon to deliver several eulogies, and I always begin by saying, if you believe God, that's one thing, but if you believe in God, that's another. And if you believe in the word that your body is a vessel and you're moving on to a better place, then it should give you some solace. And I love those ministers who encourage those who attend funerals to be happy and rejoice.
Yes, yes.
And bring life.
Celebrate the life.
Celebrate the life and bring life to the church and to the room. I love ministers who do that and don't let the room slip. And for those people who sometimes will come up and offer some lightheartedness, because 89, 83, these great years that people are investing.
Yeah,
and
definitely blessed.
And I can't remember what minister. It might have been Bishop Bishop Clay may have offered this, but I remember hearing a couple years ago, and it stuck with me, about the dash.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a beginning and there's an end. But what is your dash? What have you done in the middle?
Right.
And I've always thought that was good. I always thought to myself, that should get me in. You know what I'm saying? When it's showtime, excuse me, Your Honor, look at my dash, man. I had a couple misses in the beginning, and I may have slipped in the end, but my dash is pretty doggone good. So blessings to all. And as we tune out this first segment, we want to remind you that you're listening to Soul Take Champions Live here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We want to, as we always do, thank our partner and co-sponsor, the Pittsburgh Courier, the oldest black publication in America, for their contribution to our effort to bring you the latest and greatest, and not only sports information, but just some general good information and some knowledge that some of y'all just need. Sometimes y'all just need to hear some stuff that you don't know. So we be bringing you stuff. So all that and more coming back at you in just a moment.
Looking for some magic? Urban Media Today Radio. For the very best in adult and urban music. Listen to us on our app at TuneIn or Live 365. Urban Media Today features great music, entertainment updates, HBCU sports, breakfast, toast, and jams mixes for your morning wake up, and sports. Like us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and register to win prizes on a weekly basis. All right here on Urban Media Today Radio.